Friends, it's good to greet you once again with our Bible open, and we're dealing in another lesson today under the caption of The Power of the Prophets, all brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ. And we trust the congregation or congregations bringing this broadcast into your home that you will realize that they have you and your entire family in mind. Now, we do not solicit funds on the air because this program is sponsored financially and certainly backed spiritually by the congregation or congregations that sponsor this broadcast. But we are profoundly interested in your moral and spiritual support, and if you have questions, we'd like to have you send them in. Now, I believe when we're dealing with prophets and prophecy, that there are a number of questions that might come to a person's mind. One thing I want you to keep in mind in connection with our broadcast as we present it to you is that we are dealing not with just think-sos, we're dealing with those things that are actual factual and can be traced to the Word of God without addition, subtraction, or alteration. After all, that's the desire that the brethren have who bring you this broadcast. And again, we're going to say that we believe that the prophets go as far as any one means to prove that the Bible is true. On a broadcast last week, we went to the prophet Isaiah and also referred to Joel and showed how the prophecy was fulfilled, that in the last days the mountain of the Lord's house would be established in the top of the mountains and exalted above the hills, that all nations would flow into it, and the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem. We found that being fulfilled, at least basically, in the second chapter of Acts, and then how the gospel was taken not alone to the Jew, but also to the Gentile, and how the same apostle Peter, who delivered that sermon in the second chapter of Acts, telling men that they'd crucified Jesus, and about 3,000 were glad to receive the word and were baptized. He was the same apostle who preached at the household of Cornelius in Caesarea in the 10th chapter of Acts. So we have a record of the gospel being preached to the Jews first and also the Gentiles. And that's the way it was to be done. For in Romans 1:16, Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to go to a prophecy today that I believe not alone proves the Bible again to be true, but one of the most fascinating prophecies that we have any place in the entire Bible. And this has to do with the birth of Christ. I want to read this scripture, and then we'll come back to it later. I'm in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, you may not have your Bible open to that because you didn't know what we were going to talk about on the broadcast today, but write that down and take time to look at it. In Micah 5 and 2, Micah has this to say, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth hath been from of old, from everlasting." I don't believe there can be any doubt at all if you are just guessing that you would say, well, he's talking about Jesus here, the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, of course, when we talk about Jesus, we understand his complete cooperation as the Son of God, and I think it could be said that when Christ came to this earth, that it was actually God coming down to this earth. There was complete agreement between God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So there can be no doubt here about what this is talking about Bethlehem and Judea, and how that it refers to Judah in that second verse. So all of this points to a passage that tells us where Christ would be born. Now, I'd like to have you remember with me that when we did have the birth of Christ, as is recorded in Luke, now it's my understanding that when Christ was born there, as the record is given to us by Luke in that gospel accounting, that the shepherds were the first ones to come and visit him. I'm going to take issue with the artist's concept that the shepherds and the wise men came at the same time. Now, you may not have thought about this, or maybe you have, and you might say, well, it's incidental. But I want you to think about this. The shepherds came after taking care of their flock by night, and just as the angels had said, they found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and there the babe was in the manger, in that stable. There was no room for them in the inn, and so Mary and Joseph had to go to the stable, and that's where the Son of God, the greatest personage that ever lived upon this earth or will ever live upon this earth, was born. I had someone say to me not too long ago, they said, you know, if a social worker had actually realized where this child was born, they'd say, well, he won't have a chance in life. He just got everything against him. But this was the Son of God, the greatest life that was ever lived upon this earth, that was born there in that stable and laid in the manger. Now, the shepherds came first. And then in Matthew's account of the gospel, we have the record of the wise men coming. Now, it doesn't say anything about the wise men finding Jesus in the stable. It says they found him in a house. The star stood over the house where the young child was. Now, this is why some authorities, and this is just a thought that you can think about, why some authorities think that when Herod got this all together as the king, that he picked the age of 2 years because he was sure that that would get this king of the Jews. He was sure that as the children were killed in the city of Bethlehem and in his territorial domain, that this would truly get Jesus. Now, some authorities have thought that Christ may have been, well, he may have been somewhat older than just a small child. But whatever the case is, this is something you can think about. But the wise men did come. But you know, before they got there, they followed the star. They came from the east, and they lost contact with that star someplace along the line, and they came to Jerusalem. And you remember the audience that they had with King Herod. They just simply asked King Herod where the king of the Jews should be born. And when he heard that word king, he looked upon Jesus as a rival. And it says he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. So immediately he called in his wise men. Now, did you ever stop to think who these wise men were that he called in? Well, I believe that undoubtedly they were scribes. They were people who understood the law. And he said, now I want to know where this king of the Jews will be born. Well, they looked upon this as a Messiah. And you know, I don't know how long it took them to come up with the answer, but it could be possible that they found that answer in just a short period of time. Because these men knew the law. They spent their entire lifetime in looking at that law and memorizing it and analyzing it and talking about it. There no doubt were a number of them who had schools following them, as was the case with Paul or Saul of Tarsus being taught at the feet of Gamaliel. So you can get this whole concept or this picture in mind. And if they knew Micah, as we have at 5:2, they'd know that Bethlehem was the place where this child was to be born. So here's Micah writing way back there in the Old Testament as a prophet, telling us exactly where Jesus should be born. So Herod, of course, said to the wise men, he said, now you go and you search diligently for this young child. Don't leave a stone unturned. You look until you find him, and then you bring me word again, because I want to come and worship him. Of course, he wanted to kill him. And the wise men didn't come back to Herod because they went back a different way. And then the prophecy is fulfilled that Jesus should go to Egypt. Mary and Joseph took him to Egypt, and when he came out of Egypt, the scripture says, out of Egypt have I called my son. So this was all the fulfillment of prophecy. But isn't it an interesting thing to you as you listen today in your home or in your automobile or shop, wherever you are, to realize that we can take this wonderful word of God and we can see how much powerful teaching was offered by the prophets. Now, these prophets were inspired of God, and I want to say, as I did in the broadcast last week, that there are many things that they did not know, apparently, how it was going to be fulfilled, how it was going to be carried out. But they just continued to write by inspiration. And so we have this teaching here. And you see, if you believe the Bible, and we trust that you do, and someone says, well, really, how did they know? How did the scribes know? How was Herod told? How did this all come about that they would know where Jesus was to be born, where the Messiah was to be born? Well, it all boils down to a reference like Micah 5:2. Yes, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So you see, Jesus was back there in the beginning. We can't think of him having a beginning. He came to this earth just the way the Bible teaches. And the wonderful prophecy was fulfilled that indicates to us here that he was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. You know, I wonder as I talk to you how those wise men must have felt when they walked into the house. You see, after they got out of the audience with Herod, then they saw that star again. Now, it wasn't far from Jerusalem or Herod's palace over to the city of Bethlehem. And there that star came and stood right over the house where the young child was. And they went into the house, And you know, the idea that's brought out here by Micah, that he is to be a ruler in Israel. He was from Israel. It had been prophesied back in the Old Testament. We won't be getting into this, but back in Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses prophesied that the Lord your God will raise up a prophet from the midst of your brethren like unto me. You'll hear this prophet. Well, Jesus came in the physical sense from the tribe of Judah. He was born in the city of Bethlehem, just the way the teaching was offered. And the gifts that they presented to him, these wise men, were gifts that were given to people of royal estate or to kings. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Someone says, is that how they got the idea of the three wise men? Well, it may be. I don't know. I don't really know how many wise men there were. That's beside the point. We would indicate, from all indication here, it would indicate there's more than one. But they brought these gifts, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they presented them to this child. So when you begin to put this whole thing together, when the shepherds came, they were the humble people of field, and they were given the opportunity to announce the birth of Jesus first to the world. Isn't that interesting to you? Why, someone says it looks to me like the most outstanding king in the world upon a throne, an emperor, someone like that, be the one to announce that. But you see, God didn't work that way. He took these humble men of the field, and when they saw, as the angels had told them, that it was true that this babe was there in that manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, they went out and they told the story that the child, the Messiah, was born. And then we're aware of the fact that when these wise men came from the east, they represent another phase of society. And isn't it wonderful to know that the gospel was for all men? This king was going to rule over people of all nations. How wonderful it is to realize that when one is baptized into Christ, it doesn't make any difference whether he is a servant or a master. I mean, whether he's a laborer out here in a ditch, so to speak, or whether he's a king on the throne or the head of a corporation, whether it's man or woman, bond or free, male or female, we're all one in Christ Jesus. So there's a pretty good cross-section, I believe, in the birth of Christ, with the shepherds announcing as humble people of field about his birth, and then also the other side of society, the people of royal estate coming and presenting to him at the very beginning days of his life. Here is a king. And you know, there may have been some who had remembered this down through the years. I don't know. But when he came, when Christ came into the city of Jerusalem years later, and they put down those palm branches in front of the beast upon which he was riding, and they announced Hosanna in the highest, they looked upon him as being a king. But then you see, the whole thing fell flat because he didn't fit into their mold. And I want to say to you on the broadcast today, when you think about this prophecy, when you think about how true the Bible is, does the Word of God fit into your mold? Well, it ought to be the other way around. You ought to try to fit into what God has in mind. You see, a lot of people are trying to make God like they are. And, of course, when they do this, they put something else up other than God, and that's a form of idolatry. But the point I want to emphasize before we leave you, you think intently with me how true this teaching is and how wonderful the prophecy is that's been given to us in this wonderful book. You know, we treasure this book, your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ do, and we believe that the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, should be made known. So this beautiful picture of the prophecy in Micah 5 and 2 that tells where Jesus was to be born and how that this all came about in its wonderful fulfillment. You'll find a fulfillment of this, of course, in the first chapter of Matthew, where it also mentions about him being born. Now, that ties in with a prophecy in a very definite way that a virgin should conceive and bring forth a son, and his name should be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's Isaiah 7:14 for the beginning of the prophecy and Matthew 1:23. Going to have to leave you on the broadcast. Tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast and be with us next week as we continue on with Power of the Prophets.